Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 29, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 6. Now the Bible says this, "In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice." Now listen to it again, because this is a tremendous verse of Scripture and has particular application to you today, right now, in the condition you're in, and you don't even know it. But you will know it. By the time the broadcast is over, you'll know God has shown you something out of the Word of God that is absolutely, vitally important to your relationship with Him, whether you're saved or lost. The Bible says, "In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice." Now let me remind you of something. If you're saved, you're a Christian, you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's a wonderful and glorious thing. And you are guaranteed by that a home in heaven. But you know something? You still have to live the rest of your days on this earth. And just because you're a saved man does not mean, even for a moment, that you are not capable of doing everything any evil man on this earth has ever done. You see, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, "When I would do good, evil is present with me. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Don't think that you have escaped every snare that can be put on a man just because you've gotten saved. And I'm telling you, getting saved is a wonderful thing, but it doesn't solve all the problems. You see, what you've got to be able to do is you've got to be able to live your life as a righteous man. I had the opportunity to lead a young lady to the Lord after one of our services recently at church. And in talking to her before she prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, I said, "Do you want to live your life as a good Christian, or do you just want to be a Christian?" And she looked at me and she was kind of surprised, because she thought the two would go hand in hand. She said, "Well, I want to be a good Christian." I said, "Okay, then what you want to do is you want to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you also want to obey your mother and father. But you also want to read your Bible. But you also want to tell your friends about Jesus Christ. And you want to be faithful at church." And, you see, we went on like that. "You've got to pray." Because there's the big difference between somebody that's a Christian and somebody that's a good Christian. You see, it says, "In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare." So just because you're saved doesn't mean that you are going to live out your days without snares that come to evil men who transgress. If you want to be a righteous person who sings and rejoices, you're going to have to be a good Christian, not just a Christian. Now listen, let's deal with the verse piece by piece and look at everything it has to say so that you can see how this verse is so timely for some decisions that you are making in your own life. That Bible verse right there says, "In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare." All right then. If you choose, in whatever condition you're in, saved or lost, to proceed with a life of transgression, then you are going to find yourself in a snare. You cannot help it. It's impossible. Listen, just the other day I was visiting with a friend of mine, and he said that he knew a lady who had made a decision recently to separate from her husband. And that's always a tough deal. Well, as we began to talk about the kind of life that she and her husband were having, it was a very typical thing. Been married for a number of years and had suddenly found themselves sort of no longer in the same kind of love that they had had when they first married. He had gotten settled into his ways, and he was comfortable just doing his work and coming home and eating a meal together and then sitting down reading a good book and getting some nice rest and going back to work the next day. She, on the other hand, was not ready to settle down. She was ready for some excitement. So they would go out and party. They're Christians, but would go out and party a little now and then. And she was introduced to a different kind of lifestyle, a lifestyle of society and a lifestyle of the world and a little bit of drinking. You know what? The next thing you knew, she began to drink. Not to the point of drunkenness and not to the point of dependency, but simply enjoying the levity that comes from loosening up with a few drinks and being in that social environment. That was really something that was pleasing to her, something she hadn't experienced before. Well, to him, it didn't make one bit of difference one way or the other. He was still wanting to come home, have a meal, sit on the sofa, read a book, get some rest. She, on the other hand, now wanted that social life, that party time. Well, one thing led to another, and as it has turned out, she's found him dull and inconsiderate and, you know, old, and she wants to still live it up. So, it's her decision, and she's decided that she wants to separate. That's a terribly sad thing. But that's the pattern, and that's the picture of the type of things that go on with busted marriages. Day after day and time after time, Christians do it, and lost people do it. Now, what's she going to do? She is now in a life of transgression. She's saved. But as far as she's concerned, she's just now getting ready to start having some fun that she's missed out on. It's a life of transgression, no matter which way you look at it. And in that life that she is pursuing, there is a snare. She can't see it. She doesn't know what it is. She doesn't even consider that it's there in the path. But I know it's there, because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 6, in the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. And what she's doing is wrong. She's pursuing the lust of the flesh. And I don't know what the snare is going to be. It might be a casual relationship that turns into a pregnancy. It might be a marriage built on the excitement of society that suddenly puts her in a relationship with a lost man. And she will learn the snare of that type of relationship. It could be a venereal disease. It could be bankruptcy by going out and now having two household heads and having to support herself and her husband having to support himself without children. The next thing you know, there may be a bankruptcy. There could be skyrocketing indebtedness before the bankruptcy. Whatever the case may be, you could think of probably 15 different examples of snares that trap people in the very shape that she's finding herself in right now. She is not going to sing, and she is not going to rejoice like the righteous in the life that she's leading now. She'll sing some songs, but eventually those will be the songs of drunkards and the country-type songs of the busted relationships and the misery and the scars. There's one snare that she's getting ready to experience that can't be seen visibly on the features. It's the snare of the heart. And she's going to learn a sadness that she's never experienced a day in her life. I was talking to another friend of mine, and he told me about living a life as a Christian where he got out of the will of God. And the next thing you know, he was working and his wife was working, and then that wasn't enough. He had to have two jobs, and nothing was working out because he was out of the will of God. What was the snare? The snare was he was going through life day in and day out with no joy. There was no money left over. It seemed like the harder they worked and the more they did, the deeper the well got. and the harder it was to dig out of it. Life wasn't satisfying, and the Lord wasn't blessing, and he was snared in, essentially, have you ever seen a rat run in a squirrel cage? You ever gone to a pet store or seen a friend of yours that has a pet mouse, and that cage just goes round and round and round? They call it a squirrel cage, just round and round and round as that mouse just runs and runs and runs and expends all kinds of energy and gets absolutely nothing done. That was his life. That is a snare, my friend. But you think, oh, no, I'm going to go on. I don't have to be involved in church. I don't have to do the things the preacher says. I'm going to do my life my way, and I'm going to get my fishing boat, and I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get that. And the next thing you know, you're going to find out that the truth of this verse is indelibly written upon the table of your heart. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. I can write the book on it. I've experienced this in my own life. At 15 years of age, I had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I had to continue going to the Catholic Church, the church of my parents' upbringing, but I was in a boarding school that also allowed me to attend another church if I wanted to, so I fulfilled my obligation to the Catholic Church first thing in the morning, and then I would run up the street to the Presbyterian Church, Ben Hayden's church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I would go to Sunday school, and I would go to the service and listen to him preach. And then when I got to college, after one bummer semester, I spent the rest of the time, all of my college, in the First Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, under the fine preaching of John Bassanio. But when I got out and got into the world and began my banking career, I decided that the social life, like this young lady I just described to you decided, I decided that that social life is something that I had missed out on and something I owed myself. And I wanted to be able to sing those songs and enjoy those times, and I set out on it. And the first year, I didn't realize there was a snare, nor the second, nor the third, nor the fourth, nor the fifth, nor the sixth. But there's a snare. You don't see it. You don't know when it's going to pull you, but it's there. Suddenly, one day, I woke up, and I was in the snare, and I had no way of knowing how in the world I got into that snare, and I had no way of knowing how in the world I was going to get out of it. But I was snared by a life of, it was detestable. I don't even want to describe it. I'm just going to tell you that I was ensnared. And I didn't know, I had absolutely no idea that that thing was going to get me. And I was trapped. I was trapped. Now listen, the reason I know that you're going to get trapped, and I'll tell you, by the way, as I'm turning to this verse to quote it to you, that I was miserable, I was depressed, it was creating financial problems for me, it was certainly creating marital problems for me, certainly creating spiritual problems for me, and beginning to affect my work as a businessman and affect many other things. It was terrible. It was absolutely white, like waking up in a nightmare. And frankly, I didn't know how to get off of the merry-go-round that I was in. I was in the squirrel cage. I was trapped. And the person that had me in the bowl was the devil. And it's absolutely true. The Bible says about people who minister in meekness, the Bible says, we're to minister in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may, listen very carefully, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Did you hear that verse? And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Get it. Understand it. When you decide to take the life of sin, to live the life of an evil man, you start heading toward a trap that the devil has laid for you. You don't know what year he's going to find you in that trap, but you can be sure he will take you captive, that Bible verse says, at his will. He chooses when. You don't know when, but I guarantee you he will do it at precisely the time that will create for you the worst, absolute worst nightmare and the most collateral damage that he can possibly level against you. He'll get your mind. He'll get your heart. He'll get your affections. He'll get your children. He'll get your money. He'll get your house. He'll get your spouse. He'll get your car. He'll get your health. He'll get your house. He'll get everything he can possibly get when he pulls that snare. So it may be a while. You may live that way for 15 years, 20 years, 30 years before he decides to pull it. And you'll all the time that you're heading toward that snare, you'll be saying, ha, 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 ha. Those people that go to church, those people that think they're so righteous, those people that call themselves saved, that love Jesus Christ, those people who sing those hymns on Sunday, they don't even understand. I'm the one who's living the great life. I'm the one that has all the possessions. I am the one that has money in the bank, friends. I can do anything I want to do. I am not in bondage to have to go to church on Sunday. I get to live it up. You have no idea when he's going to pull that cord. But I'm going to tell you something. The snare is there, and the fact that he hasn't ensnared you today is only a disguise to make you believe, a deception to make you believe that everything's running smooth and that what I'm telling you is an absolute fabrication of a preacher's spiritual mentality. No, it isn't a fabrication. It is an absolute truth. And everybody that has ever run the course along the path of the wicked finds themselves in that snare before they know it. Trouble is, you just can't see it. You say, how do you know it's going to happen? I said, because it's simple. Everything that you do like that, everything that you do in the way of transgression, takes you further and further into the world and further away from God, because the world and God are absolutely contrary to one another. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There you go. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, what happens is the life of transgression and the life of an evil man draws you closer and closer to the world, and therefore further and further away from God, because the love of the Father is not in him, saved or lost. Doesn't make any difference. James chapter 4, look at verse 4. The Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? That means you're an enemy of God when you're a friend of the world. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Don't tell me you're not heading for a snare. The only one in the whole universe that doesn't know you're about to get into trouble is you. Your friends know, your preacher knows, your spouse knows, I know, God knows, the devil knows. You're the only one in the universe who is clueless. Do you really want to remain that ignorant? You see, you've got to get out of it. You don't realize that when you get into this trouble you're heading for right now, you are going to be ensnared. Proverbs describes you very, very clearly. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22, once you step off into that life, I promise you, if you've started on it right now and hadn't hit this snare, you will. You say, and I'm going to read this verse to you, but I thought I might just let you in. I'm coming at you right now because it is my desire, and I pray also the Lord's desire, through the preaching of the Word of God today, to turn you from the trouble you're about to get into. You can keep yourself from getting in the snare by changing your ways today. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. There you go. Those sins have cords, and they simply tighten the noose around you tighter and tighter and tighter until they literally squeeze the life out of you. I saw a sermon that a preacher preached one time with a chalk talk drawing, and he drew a serpent around the body of a man, and when he first got in and played with that snake, it didn't hurt him. But before it was all said and done, that snake had completely constricted his body until it literally squeezed the life right out of him. There's your snare. The Pharisees didn't realize when Jesus Christ was talking to them about this very matter that I'm talking to you about right now, that they were in a snare. They didn't see it any more than you see it. I know you may decide that what I'm saying is true, and I know you may even want to believe me. But if you had to rely upon what you know to determine whether or not what I am saying is true or not, you wouldn't believe me. You might only believe me because this is what the Bible says. The Pharisees didn't believe Jesus Christ because they didn't believe the Bible. Jesus told them, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You've heard that before. But look at their reply. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," watch it, "whosoever," listen now, "whosoever committeth sin," are you listening? This is about you. "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Slave, no way out, in bondage, in the snare, in a trap, you're done. Say, "Well, I hadn't got in there yet." Don't be a fool. That's where you're heading. Everybody that's ever been on the path you're on ended up in exactly the same position you're getting ready to find yourself in. You don't see it. The guy's still driving a Lamborghini, still has money in the bank, still has a big house. Yeah, but you don't see him at night when he's drinking himself drunk or taking pills because he cannot stand the life he's living. And he cannot stand the fact that the things he has purchased and the places he has traveled have not yet satisfied his very, very soul. Listen, there's only one way out of the snare. You already know what I'm going to say, but don't be so pompous. You know what gets wrong with preachers? When preachers get old and they go to listen to another preacher, they no longer turn to the text of the Bible that the preacher is preaching out of. You know why? They think they know it all. So don't be a know-it-all. The Bible says about Jesus Christ that he is your righteousness. And the text we're reading says, the righteous doth sing and rejoice. You got to get right with God. In John chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus Christ said, "If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to be able to sing and rejoice like a righteous man? Don't you want to be able to go to sleep at night without a guilty conscience? Don't you want to be able to wake up in the morning knowing that the health you enjoy is given to you by God Almighty? Don't you want to have a sound mind that comes directly from the Savior himself? Don't you want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that when you die, you're going to heaven? Don't you want to know that when you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for the service you've done down here, that you're actually in line for some rewards instead of a total flaming loss? Don't you want a happy marriage? Don't you want to be successful in the work that you do here for your family and for the Lord? Don't you want your children to turn out right? You don't have a chance of any of that stuff in the way of transgression. The only way it could possibly work out for you, and even then it's not a guarantee, is to be righteous. Because the righteous, if nothing else, doth sing and rejoice. I know Paul and Silas got thrown in jail in Philippi for doing the work of the Lord. You know what they did at night, around midnight? They sang and rejoiced. You can't do that. When they throw you in jail for the stuff you do, you won't be singing. You'll be saying you got a raw deal, and you'll be saying, "Let me call my attorney," and you'll be getting ready to spend all the money you've ever had to get yourself out of there. You won't be singing like Paul and Silas did. Why? Your conscience is all messed up. Only the righteous doth sing and rejoice. You say, "But I'm saved, and therefore I ought to be righteous." Yeah, but you know why you're not singing, and you know why you're not rejoicing? Because you're still acting like an evil man. You say, "In what regard?" You're not reading the Bible. Go get you a King James Bible. And pray, don't you worry about what these modernists say. Get you an authorized King James Bible and begin reading. A very, very dear friend of mine told me, he said, "My life was a mess as a Christian until I started reading the Bible for myself every day." And he said, "I cannot tell you the changes that God has made in my life, but I am a completely and absolutely different creature than I ever was before." I can give you the same testimony. I was saved, as I told you, but then I began to live in the world, and I got very miserable. You know what got me out of that snare of the devil when I had been taken captive by him at his will? Bible reading. I started it in September of 1986 at 12 o'clock midnight in Psalm 119. That's a good place to start. And I read that thing September 86, October 86, November 86, December 86, January 87, and on and on and on until this very day. I'm not bragging, I'm telling you. When that Bible right there says, in the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, I was in it. And when that Bible says, the righteous doth sing and rejoice, I'm in that. And I got in that situation because I started reading that Bible. Listen, I've lived long enough now, been around this stuff in the Bible long enough to know this. Everything that allures you in this world that takes you away from the Lord Jesus Christ is vanity. And the only time that you will ever find the absolute joy and happiness that you desire on this side of eternity is when you realize that all that stuff is vanity, and that the only thing that's real and worth spending time in and enjoying is fellowship with Jesus Christ and Bible reading. That's it. We sing and rejoice today. We're not in the snare today. And I pray to God that you will get out of the snare you're heading into, get into that Bible, get into fellowship with Jesus Christ, and live the life of God according to the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the things you find in that book, and get out of the transgression of an evil man so you can free yourself from the snare that's about to tear you to pieces. Will you believe me? Will you believe the book? Will you listen? Will you respond? Will you turn? It is guaranteed you're going to be ensnared if you stay the way you're going. And it is guaranteed you'll sing and rejoice if you'll get in the book and live as a doer of the word and not a hearer only. You understand? Get to it, and get to it now. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.